Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as the Used Book Guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Resellers Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny, as always, over on the YouTube or wherever you listen to this podcast. Today's topic is a kind of interesting one. Are new resellers doomed? And
yes,
podcast is over. Yes, thank you for
listening.
Shortest
one we ever did. There we go. It's a wrap.
We appreciate you all. But there is two sides to this coin. Because nowadays, there's more information about reselling than there's ever been. Mm-hmm. But the problem that comes with all the information is, just because it's information doesn't mean it's correct information. And I do believe, as somebody that, you know, has had a YouTube channel for a few years, that resellers, a lot of resellers paint a picture of reselling that is really not, it's not real, it's fake, right? It's like, you never see the kind of behind the scenes nitty gritty. It's usually just, hey, I sold this item for $1,000, right? Like, it's like, because that's how you get views on YouTube. But unfortunately, a lot of resellers, that's how they start reselling, social media, YouTube. So you get into it thinking, hey, I can go find a lamp that I'm going to sell for $1,000 that I'm going to pay for $3. And then you get out there and you're like, this doesn't exist. What kind of witchcraft was this person doing? Like, it paints a weird picture. I don't know. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
As far as the informational side goes, yeah, it's plentiful. There's a lot of groups out there, including this one. You can get fast-tracked by doing that. But however, I don't think it, as it once was on any platform you go to, minus the new ones, because they're new. Looking at you, whatnot, and looking at you, Macari. Don't count those guys. But for your Amazon, your eBay players, the game has changed quite a bit, in my opinion. You got to work a lot harder. The days of slinging anything and everything up in either platform, I think, are almost the door shut on that. You got to be a little bit more particular and know what you're doing. And what I mean by that, ultimately, is you got to know your numbers. Once upon a time, I don't think you needed to know your numbers as much, and you could just make money. Today, I think you need to make money because the marketplace, on the traffic that's steered, the requirement, the gateway to entry, even on Amazon's gotten a little bit more higher. Getting the buy box takes forever these days. Being ungated and everything, that's not a thing anymore, so you got to pay up a bit. And there's a lot of other little nuances to this. On eBay, you got to sell a desirable item. You can't just sell whatever's in your pocket, including the lint these days. You got to figure out what sells. So you got to do some research. To me, I think reselling as a whole, well, here's the key word. It's going to be a lot of work. And I don't think a lot of people are cut out to do a lot of work.
I think about this. I'm happy with a $20 average sales price right on Amazon. Like, right, I basically, if I can average $20 per sale, I take like $10, $50, $11 on average of the $20 that is profit before overhead costs, right? Buy costs, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And to some people, like, that's, I mean, it's not exciting, right? I mean, there's really no YouTube videos out there where the most expensive thing they sold was a $20 item. And if there is, they probably have little to no subscribers or views, because that isn't the appeal of reselling. It's like, it's the huge items. And, you know, I remember at the beginning of this year, I asked everybody in the group, hey, what do you think my highest priced item was? And people are like, $500, $1,000. It was only like $160, $170 item. And I think that threw a lot of people for a loop. Like, wait a minute, this isn't just selling all this high expensive type stuff with media. It's just bread and butter items. You continue to turn. You have to buy lots of it. And I do think, I wish there was this. I got an idea, right? You get a little badge on YouTube that says like reseller rarefied, right? And they rarefy your business that you're actually making money. And like, I don't know, maybe that's the stuff they only promote to like newer people, because there's a lot of bad business that goes on out there in the reselling world. And you kind of, you know, you say groups, not courses. Although courses are kind of the same thing, they can fast
Can
track
be.
you. But with Amazon, dude, the problem is with new people, it's copy paste. It's just copy paste, right? Because the software is just numbers. You just plug it in numbers in software for Amazon, and for the most part, right? And then you just use your software to source items, whether that's online or whether that's in thrift stores. So with Amazon, it's just a bunch of people that just copy and paste the same thing, the same thing, the same thing as new sellers. And that's probably the reason why most new sellers don't last on Amazon, because you just copy and paste somebody else's business when we all know everybody's reselling business is different.
I mean, starting from the ground up on Amazon, it was a lot of boxes I sent in before I started seeing some real coin out of that. It was a while. A while for me. I mean, it was only like 3 months, right? But it was 3 months of 8, 10, 12 hour days of just shipping, 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 shipping. I already had the material. If I had to go out and get that material or that had material come in, it would have taken twice as long. So we're looking at about 6 months here, probably. And then there would be hurdles to figure out, where do I put all this stuff while I'm processing it? I gotta check for condition as well. So you got some processing there. You gotta decide, what do I do with the junk? I had solutions to all of these. That's why it only took me 3 months, because I was ready to go. I played the Amazon game a year before, so I already had the knowledge set to do it. I mean, there were some differences as far as fees and the inventory restock limits, because that had changed as well. But if I wouldn't have had that, and I would have had to start from literal scratch, and I wouldn't have the knowledge, it would probably taken 6 months, and I'd be wondering the whole time, am I wasting my time? Am I? Question mark.
I mean, and that's the short end of the stick. The amount of inventory you sent in since the beginning of this year is like, it's insane. I mean, it's what was required from you when you got the job done. But I'm here to tell you, 99.9% of people that were in your shoes would have been like, nah, this ain't worth it. They would have called it quits after the first month, because you ain't even getting paid in the first month, even if you're sending 8 boxes a day.
Yeah, I mean, here, I'll be a little bit more transparent than I normally am, because let's see. So first month was September. Money made, $172.
Baby.
172, baby. There we go. October, $1,900. All right, now we're getting there. November, 3,900. December, 7,900. I made some changes between December and January, so again, 7,900 there. Following month, 10K, 10.3. But it took that amount of time and waiting to actually spiral up. And I had an employee and I have overhead.
Yeah, it took that amount of work, I think, is the big
Yeah.
thing here. And
Yeah.
like you said, you already have the inventory, so the time it would take me to source, you're at like what, 10,000 almost, or over 10,000 on Amazon?
Yeah, we're about to hit 11K. And I took, well, we had some travel and some other projects too. So I only did 2 weeks of work as far as Amazon's concerned and shipments. So I expect to be even a little under February, but in May here, it should be well over what we made in February.
Just for reference, I just broke the 2,000 mark on Amazon cherry picking. Like, I could never, it would be impossible for me to have the numbers that he has cherry picking. I just don't have enough sources and enough time in my life, basically, is what it comes down to. But that's kind of why we work well together, because we're two different completely business models, basically. We can sell on the same platform, we can get the same results, just two different ways to do it. But I do think if we carry over the copy and paste to eBay, I think it has become a little bit more prevalent, right? Like, the big group out there, you got Tech and Sports Group, you got Chris's group. It's the processes and the self accountability. But even when we talked to Mel, when we had Mel on the podcast, she said she's created so much of her own competition in Australia because she was given out exactly how to do it. So she has to think to herself, okay, well, where do I draw the line and in what information I'm putting out there? And that's a 100% valid argument, right? If I all of a sudden I have tons of media, resellers in central Pennsylvania, and they're getting all their information from me, it's like I'm almost destroying my own business in a sense. And I do think that copy paste has grown on eBay as well. People say, "Whoa, Mel's selling books. I want to sell books. Tech sells clothing. I'm going to sell the same brands as Tech does. Tech, give me your brands." And Mel, what books sell well? And then all of a sudden, it destroys everything.
No, and I learned a lot from Mel. She was there when I started, and then when I started to do books, I went looking for people who were selling books on eBay. She was the one I learned a lot of information from, and then I learned very quickly her business model and my business model, they don't jive. It works for her, does not work for me. And I tried the lots, I tried the bundles and all of that. I tried the coffee table books, didn't translate over here into the US for my store. And then I found my personal identity in the paperback books. And we were talking about this on the media call and text group just this week. Don't copy anybody. Find your thing and be original in your thing. Now, as far as the basics go, the basics don't change. Those apply to everybody. Like, how do you make an eBay account? To how do you set up direct payments? How many photos should you do? And even photos, you can have your own identity there. I do like 10 to 14, depending what it is. And if it's special something, I'll do the full Monty of the 24 that it allows us to. But how you take the photos, you can copy somebody like Mel. Everybody has access to my store. You can copy the way I do it. But I recommend you find your own little flair. And it's funny because Tech mentions about an off-white gray kind of background. And how many photos are off gray white now because of that gentleman? And I used a gray carpet early on. If you look at some of my older listings that are still up, you'll see that gray carpet because okay, the man said it, I'm gonna do it. Here we go.
The problem is, Johnny, I'm gonna act. Oh, I am a new reseller. I'm gonna start selling used clothes as of today. I'm gonna message Tech. I'm be like, yo, Tech, give me a list of brands to look out for. I'm gonna go to the flea markets like he does, and I guarantee you, I'll maybe find 5, 10 pieces, and I'll probably be there for 10 hours. I don't think people, especially new people, realize the experience and knowledge base you build over time is how you win in this game. It's not saying, okay, well, I'm going to look for Polo, Lululemon, and just have this list of brands, and that's what works for you. No, there's styles. No, there's trends. There's this, there's that. And no matter what category this is, I know I'm saying clothing, same with sneakers, same with books, same with music, same with DVDs. There's trends, there's understanding brands, publishers, right? I still don't know nowhere close as much as I should about books. I'll be straight up. I'm more interested in knowing publishers of DVDs and CDs than I am books, right? So yet again, it's one of those things where what interests you? What kind of drives you? What kind of sparks your mind to think a little bit and make a mental note like, hey, I know, legacy publishing or this small publishing house is going to be profitable.
Now, switching over to Amazon here. I mean, I'm gonna have to, because I already see it in the market. I'm gonna have to go beyond books to play the Amazon game. I am gonna get into disc media, and I'm probably gonna try some vinyl and cassettes out to see how that does. I know you've had success with cassettes as well. I'm assuming some things will be in vinyl, but that's a double-edged sword because now I'll have more stuff that I wouldn't be able to send in because I do a bulk model. So I'm going to have to transform my bookstore to a media store is what's going to have to happen. And that's going to be an interesting thing that I'll have to learn. Now, I know some things just being in the game a while about CDs and DVDs and cassettes and vinyl and all that, but I'm not a master at it. I consider myself somewhat knowledgeable in books, but even in books, I don't consider myself a master, quote unquote. That just requires time, just like in all of these things. So I'll be expanding my repertoire to continue to do bulk in Amazon. Because if I just stuck to books, I don't know how long that would be viable in the current fee increases we're seeing year over year. So I have to have more categories of things to send in order to continue to do bulk, or else I will be annoyed in 3 or 4 years where I can only send in a box a week instead of what I'm doing today, which is like 4 boxes a day. I want to continue to do that for the foreseeable future, as long as Amazon allows me to.
I want to make one thing clear. I don't expect a new seller to know everything today or to like jump in and be like the most super serious person. Like I think starting out, it's good to have fun. It's good to you spend a little bit of your reselling money on things that maybe you wanted or whatever, Domino's pizza, treat yourself, right? Because I think it's important when you start, you can't be that serious. I don't think those people survive in this, right? If somebody comes in, it's like, I've never resold a day in my life, and I'm going to start today, and I'm going to be the most super serious reseller there ever is. I think that person will fail more often than the person who's just like, hey, I'm going to sell a few things around the house, get a few extra money, maybe go to a thrift store here. Then they catch the bug, and then all of a sudden they can build it into an actual business.
No, I agree with that. Even when I first got into reselling, I didn't claim to be a serious person. People asked what I did before reselling because that's just a natural thing in groups. Like, who are you? I told them my background. Like, why are you doing reselling? Because I needed a change in life. That's what I did, and quality of life actually. And it was a quality of life. I lost a lot of weight. I feel actually rewarded in the work I'm doing. It's not the same old grind. It's a grind, don't get me wrong, but it's a different kind, and it's mine. It's a chosen grind. I chose the path I'm on. What I miss, and I got to do it a couple weeks ago, actually. It was so much fun. I miss going into somebody's home and looking at their collection. That's so much fun for me. That is treasure hunting, because it's either going to be crap and I'm going to sigh and do it anyway, or it's a wall of gold. It's all mine. Ha 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 ha. I miss kind of doing that. Because nowadays I hang out at the shop mainly. It's a processing center, I'm not gonna lie. We process, and occasionally a customer walks in and I get their money and they walk out with books. Yay. But I actually had a customer walk in, hey, you want to come to the house and look at our books? I'm like, yes, when? Let's do this. I haven't done it in so long. And he actually had a lot of good things. There's a lot of repair manuals for both planes and cars. And he was a doctor, a pharmacist. His dad was a doctor. So they had a lot of cool medical things. And then while I was there, he's like, we got more of these manual things in our air hangar. I'm like, what are you saying here? Do you want to come to the air hangar? Yes, I do. I've never been sourcing at an air hangar before. Let's do this. It was really cool. He didn't have as many things there, and they're all beat up mainly, but I pulled a few things, but I got to see some cool things. That's the fun part to me. Everybody else is going to have fun somehow, some way. But if you're the adventurer type, you can have adventures reselling.
Do you think that's why a lot of people wind up giving up reselling? It's just because it loses the fun aspect of it. Because the fun part is like sourcing, right? Like for the most part, most people, the funnest part of reselling is sourcing the items. And for me, I don't know, like sourcing isn't as fun as it used to be, but like I still have a decent time in my business, right? But then again, I'm not in it 60 hours a week. I think
Yeah.
I'd probably be a rotten old man if I worked in my business 60
It
hours a
would look a
week.
lot grayer like me. Yeah.
So for me, it's like it's fun, right? Like I go out, 2 days a week, hit all my thrift stores, send in a few boxes, make a whole bunch of money. Like that's fun to me, right? It's like I don't maybe I guess you're def I guess the fun equates to being able to have such refined processes that I don't have to do this around the clock. I get free time off when I want free time off. I kind of can do what I want. I can have YouTube. I can enjoy the Discord. Like reselling overall is fun to me, I guess. Maybe if I was by myself and I never started YouTube, I never found you, got around like-minded people, then maybe I probably would have called it quits by now, right? Because what's the fun? Like, I guess like you need to share your wins and losses and the journey with someone for it to kind of be like fun to someone else, especially since reselling's usually a one-person operation. Maybe
Yeah.
if you have, maybe it's like you and your girlfriend, your wife, your significant other, your husband, whoever it is. I think that could kind of keep your reselling flame alive. But what happens here, a lot of people, it doesn't start to be fun, and I think that comes from not making money, right? I think that's kind of the root of no fun is when you're doing a whole bunch of work and you ain't making no money, because that ain't fun. Just looking at that from the outside, you're like, wait a minute, this ain't fun no more because I'm not getting paid.
It's interesting. 2 years ago, in text media call, where they had some high level players come in, Jack was amongst them. And you all have heard of Jack. And the gentleman spoke, kind of mentioned the same thing I mentioned. He was success. He had like two story building team of like 20 people, a tractor trailer come in every week and leave in every week with the junk. And he mentioned the same thing. I miss the treasure hunting. I miss going out. But I know it's a waste of my time if I do that because he's making all the money. The systems are in place. Inventory comes to him. He's got the team. Everything's working. But he did say that. And I remember that. I thought he was crazy at the time. Like, why do you miss that? You're making so much money. But I get it now. I understand it.
Do you think it kind of translate though? Like your fun when you start reselling doesn't have to be your fun throughout the whole time, right? Because I guess the fun for me is making making the money I do selling the junk I sell, right? Like that's fun to me. Like I laugh when I see somebody pays $30 for a used copy of Twister on DVD, right? I'm like, who in their mind is paying $30 for Twister on DVD used, right? So I guess that's the fun part for me. It's not so much sourcing. Like sourcing's cool, and like yeah, I like finding like cool things when I come across and maybe rare things or things like for myself, a movie or a CD or something. But I don't know, the money's fun to me. I'm so greedy, dude. That's why I'll never leave media, because you can just turn a dollar into $10 infinitely. It's like a cheat code. It's like investing on steroids. You just compound your money. And I guess that's the fun part to me. I'm just like, hey, some sucker's gonna buy this. I'm gonna put $10 in my pocket every single time. Like, I guess that is it's laughable, and I guess it keeps
It's a
me in.
license to print money. It's just how much money do you want to print? That means you got to work X amount. It's how much money do you want to make? And going back to the whole topic, is it survivable and doable this year in 2024? Yes, but you are going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I put in a lot of hours, even on Amazon. I put a little bit of hours on eBay. And it used to be a lot of hours on eBay and a little bit of hours on Amazon. You can make it however you want. I think if you were to start today, you need to make that call with yourself early on. Am I treating this as a hobby? Am I treating this as part-time income while working a full-time job? Or am I trying to make that to transition to full-time? And if it's that last one there, you need to realize you're going to have to work extra. Because everybody has the same advantages of you. Like we said early on, there's a lot more information out there today than there was, and the playing field has changed both on eBay and Amazon. It's a lot harder game, and you can't just sling up, I don't know, Teletubbies and Beanie Babies anymore and get away with it. Nobody wants that stuff anymore. I'm looking at you, Princess Diana, purple Beanie Baby. Nobody wants you.
I seen a sold comp for $3 trillion, dude. I know
Oh.
what I got. Price is firm.
Yeah, money laundering there.
I do think when you, if you're in that situation, right? Because a lot of people are, and I was that person. I wanted to get out of CVS and resell full time. If you don't enjoy yourself during those times, you ain't gonna enjoy yourself at all, right? Because those are the times where you're like, my life sucks. I hate this job. You should be willing to do whatever it takes to get out of that place. And there's going to have to be sacrifices made. You're going to have to be working 50 hours at your job and then 30 hours on the side in the reselling business to get it to a point where you can comfortably and smartly make the move to try reselling full time. And if you ain't got the hustle muscle, then you're dead in the water.
If you ain't driving to the thrift store on your lunch break with a hot pocket and one hand and coffee in your other, you ain't playing it right if you're trying to make that transition. You
Yeah.
got to figure it out. If you work on your lunch break, maybe work on your dinner break, invite the wife along and pretend it's date night when you're actually secretly sourcing and see if she notices or not. You got to have that hustle. It's got to be in you to transition out, because if you don't, that 1 year plan turns into a 10 year plan. And at the end of the 10 years, you may not have the energy and hustle anymore. Where if you put in that 1 year or that 2 years of hard dedication to figure it all out, get all your sourcing in line, maximize every m spare minute you can for your business and your family, if you got a family, and your real job or your full-time current job, so you can make your reselling life your real job. If that's your goal, you're gonna have to work for it. Work being the key word of the day here.
I coach a lot of people behind the scenes, and most of them are usually newer people. And I've seen, I mean, just in our group alone, we've been doing this now for almost 2 years, 2 full years of having the Discord, YouTube group. And we've seen so many people come and go. So many people we thought were going to make it didn't make it. And then there's always the few that like, you're like, this person's got no chance. And then all of a sudden, hey, they find something. Something clicks in their business. Something clicks with their mind. And all of a sudden, boom, they're pushing these crazy numbers reselling. So there's a lot to be said about just doing the work and learning as you go. And sure, being around like-minded people will help, but create your own path. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Do something you enjoy. And listen, I think another problem here, Johnny, is I think there should be something like this where like If your store doesn't sell anything over like a 3 month period, that but they put like a big bankruptcy stamp on your account or something, right? Like, because a lot of people drag out this reselling business. It's deader than the graveyard, and they just keep dragging it along, acting like, yeah, I'm a reseller. I just can't find nothing. I haven't listed anything in weeks and months. And it's like, I wish there was a certain way that we could just be like, boom, your selling account is turned off because you haven't sold anything in months. And maybe that would thin the herd, because along with all the great information we were talking about, there's a lot of negativity in the reselling world because it's not an easy job. Not a lot of people are six-figure successful in reselling, right? And those that are, they kind of show more of the flashier side and not really the work side.
And what I see happens in January, we get an influx of new people in all groups. Doesn't matter what group you're in. And I play a little mental game. You're gonna make it. You're not gonna make it. You're totally screwed. You're wasting everybody's time. Oh, you're gonna make it. You're not gonna make it. Because you can see the people just making a January resolution versus people legitimately trying. And it's the people that do that New Year's resolution. They ain't gonna last more than 2 or 3 months. Maybe not even after this call. Especially if they ask Mr. Tech a question and then. Crushed. Love it. No offense, Tech. I
I
love when you.
think that would be a good thing though, right? I think maybe after a month, you would have to release your results on whether everybody thought this person was going to make it or not, right? So after like a month of them being in the group, like your destiny has been revealed by the group. How many people thought you were going to make it? How many people didn't think you were going to make it? But it's tough to kind of judge a book by its cover. I guess the thing with me is, if the questions are so basic and you're not willing, this is it. I figured it out, Johnny.
Google.
Yes, Google. If you're a new reseller and you're not willing to look up the most basic information on your own, like how to open an eBay account, how to open an Amazon account, what does the process look like? I don't think you're going to make it. Actually, I know you're not going to make it.
No, you're not. You're dead in the water. You got to be self-motivated. Now, it's a difference if you Google something and you can't find it, or you find it, but four people are saying four different answers. Which one is it? Then you can come to a group like this one and get clarification, or text group, or max group, or any other group. That's what the groups are for. When you're getting conflicting information, or there is no information out there, but you got to put in the initial legwork first, or else you're honestly, no offense to anybody who doesn't do this, you're wasting everybody's time. Stop wasting our time. Stop wasting Mike's time. Stop wasting my time. Stop wasting Tech's time. Do a little Google research. Do a little YouTube research. You still can't find it, or there's 10 different answers. Then we're going to give you our time once you've done that, and we'll do so with a smile. But until you've done that, don't waste our time.
It's so funny, Johnny. People like ask me about something on Amazon, like, hey, how does this work? And I literally go to the Amazon search bar up top and I type in exactly that and it pops up instantly. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But I'll take blame in this. I think all reselling influencers have to take some responsibility because we've created a culture of reselling where everybody that's brand new feels like they can just be babied into a successful reselling business because all of the information's out there. And because most resellers that are influencers have social media will respond to questions, all the questions, no matter how stupid we may think it is or how, just idiotic the question is, we'll still give a response. So I think we are to blame. I think we have created a reselling culture that's just, okay, I don't have to look myself. Johnny's been doing this. I can just message Johnny and ask him if this book's worth it, and Johnny will give you a response. And I think that hinders growth in the reselling, basically profession overall. And I think why a lot of new sellers struggle is because they don't understand that looking for yourself, you research something yourself, right? If I have a question about this program on eBay, right? The international shipping program. How does it work? Do I ship straight to the customer? How exactly does it work? Well, if I research it, you retain the information. It's kind of like people that write things down
Yes.
versus just listening. But if I can just say, hey, Johnny, how does it work? And Johnny says, oh, it goes to a warehouse, then it goes to the customer. You're not retaining that information. It's just in one ear, out the other.
It's really funny, and Reseller Greatness Text Group, we have a lot of information documented, and we'll get asked. He does the Tuesday Ask Me Anything kind of thing, and there's so many answers. He's like, "Did you go to the document? Did you go to the document? The answer's there." Or how about the most referred call list? It's titled Your Exact Question. Did you check that video out? And he's very polite, and he doesn't really yell at people. He tells them it's there. We did the work for you, right over there. Please take your time and go review that information. He does it in the most polite way. I give him all the commendations in the world for that. Because if you did that to me, I would go off on you. Well, at least
Yeah.
the 10th time I would go off on you.
But see, the thing, even that is to a new reseller, like you said, like even that is too much of a hurdle. By him saying, "Hey, go look at this document we made," because they're gonna have to look at the document, read down the document, maybe scroll a few pages, God
Oh
forbid.
no. Oh.
Even that is too much of a hurdle. But that is, unfortunately, that is the reseller, kind of the new reseller generation we have created, that it's just everything is just here you go. Here's how you do it. Here's how you make 10K a month, 20K a month, 25 billions of dollars. And unfortunately, we've gone too far. I don't think we can
Even
backstep.
you have like 100+ how-to videos of how to do this entire thing.
And just search the channel.
Just use the search feature of the channel or go to the how-to playlist. Watch every single, yes, every single video, because I had to do this. Mike's done this as well.
Yeah.
When we find somebody that's giving us good information, I guarantee you both him and I will go watch every single thing to pick up every single nugget of information. I've watched every single one of Mike's how-to videos because inevitably he'll say something that either I've forgotten about or, hey, I've never heard that before. That is a slam dunk piece of information.
But
But
the
if I went
barrier,
to
dude.
Mike,
Nobody
yeah.
wants to do it. You're asking too much. Even to me, right? To me and you, we're like, who cares, right? You could just have it playing in the background.
Exactly.
That's too much anymore because this is the culture we've created, Johnny. And now you're a part of it as being a, I
That's
mean,
true.
you're on the podcast now. So I mean you're also a part of it. But I think we do try to keep a realistic picture painted of what reselling is and the topics we cover. Because I think, like I said, there's no going back now, right? Because every reseller wants to have a YouTube channel. Every reseller YouTube channel, in order to get views and make money on YouTube, you gotta be clickbaity. You gotta find gold bars. That's the way you win in YouTube world, but it just doesn't work good for the reselling community. And yeah, there's plenty of YouTubers out there that kind of keep it real and when it comes to the work that goes into it. But the vast majority, it's the complete opposite. And I can't blame them for it because this is the world we live in. People want the easy, get rich quick type schemes. And that's why a lot of people fall for these
Here's what you do.
junk.
Take your life savings down to Vegas, put it all on black, see what happens. Don't waste your time reselling if you want that life. That's my answer to you.
I'm
Go
going
to
to the
Vegas.
slot machines, dude. At least the slot machines, I get a little bit of entertainment out.
Okay, fine. Your gambling device of choice. Put all your life savings on that. And when you come back from your time in Vegas crying and broke, well, you would have shortcutted the 1 to 2 years you wasted everybody's time, including your own, in reselling. Stop it.
That's true. I do think there is still a lot of opportunity and growth within reselling, especially if you're new. I just think there's so much information out there now. Everywhere you look, there's 50 million different business models that are going to make you trillions of dollars. Hell, I hear it all the time. Mike, why you still sell books? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And every year, Johnny, we always know there's a new hot and sexy business model that comes out. Especially with Amazon, right? eBay to Amazon, Amazon to Amazon, seasonal items on Amazon,
Oh,
bro.
Mercari has no fees. Let's all go sell on Mercari now. Ugh.
That's the no fee thing is just BS. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
It's a marketing ploy. That's all that is.
It is. Maybe I'll just, I guess it's kind of like my market employee, join the channel, $2.99. It's cheaper than a Happy Meal, right? So like, I guess everybody's got their own way of reeling people in. I just want new people to
Come to
understand.
the store. You get a free book every day. I do it too.
We all got a little gimmick in behind the scenes, but I think as a new person, you figure out what you're passionate about, what category you're passionate about, what platform you're passionate about, because different strokes for different folks, right? Platforms matter, right? What just because everybody sells on eBay or Amazon doesn't mean you can't be successful, selling on Poshmark Live, selling jewelry on Poshmark Live. Like there's so
Oh,
much
yeah.
out there, man.
I mean, The choices are abundant. The pathway you go down, that's up to you and how you want to conduct your business. And then your business model within that path, that's also up to you. There are choices. You don't have to follow the way I do things, the way Mike does things, the way Tech does things, the way Max does things. We have information for you based off our own personal experiences and what has worked for us. That's all we're really giving you. That's the honest truth. And we're successful in the ways we've chosen to be successful. Mike, he likes working 20 hours a week or 30 and doing the rest on his YouTube and helping Dev out. Good for him. Me, I'll work 80 hours in the shop every week and love doing that. And I'll come onto this podcast once a week, or twice a week sometimes. It's just, I don't know. I'm kind of getting flustered now that we've gotten toward the end of this thing. I want people to do this and be successful, but if you're getting in your own way, don't waste anybody's time, especially your own. I think I'm just going to end my segment here, and Mike, you can talk about whatever you want. That's all I wanted to say right there.
Well,
Don't waste your time or our time. Take it seriously.
we appreciate your Jerry Springer type final thought, and I agree with that. You have to be willing to learn on your own and grow on your own. Being around like-minded people will help you. Understanding processes and maybe some tips and tricks from successful resellers 100% can help you. I'm not knocking any group. Any kind of coaching, any kind of courses, there is something to be said for expediting your growth as a reseller. Kind of when we always get into, cash or credit, right? You can expedite your growth if you leverage credit in the correct way. It's the same way with information. If you leverage your information in the right way, you can grow faster. You can, have a bigger, more successful reselling business in a shorter amount of time. But there's also something to be said for the guy that's like, hey, I don't care how Mike does it, how Tech does it. I'm just doing my way. And if your way works, then who cares what anybody else? That's how I am. That's why I don't change anything. People, why don't you go to the new software? Why don't you? My stuff's work. I use the same crappy software I've used for years. And it's like,
Like maintenance. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are you trying to fix something that's working? Stop it.
that's the problem, man. That's the trap you can fall in, especially as a new seller. There's so many bells and whistles, right? Just think about nowadays, how many new sellers will start out cross-listing on every platform,
God.
which never used to exist, right? That was never, ever a thing, a few years back. Now, I guarantee you, there's probably a high percentage of brand new resellers that are like, I have to cross-list on every platform because that's the only way you can win. And that's crazy to hear and think about. But that's the reality we have created, unfortunately, us resellers that are out there on YouTube and social media. We've created a bunch of little minions, monsters, little orange banana looking guys, banana, right? We've created reseller demons, and now we have to deal with them. But I think it is something to be said because some people that do have questions, I understand. Some people are, challenged when it comes to navigating technology and finding the right information. Because if you Google a lot of this reselling stuff, it's like you'll get an endless result of like scammy websites, especially with Amazon. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Don't Google how to do things on Amazon. You're going to get a bunch of sketchy websites, courses, all that nonsense. But hey, new resellers, get out there. 2024 can be your year. We're only 4 months through, right? Summer slowdown doesn't exist on Amazon. I'll put that out there, right? So don't worry about, oh, summer's coming. This is the end. The sun is getting hotter. People's wallets are drying up. The money is made of liquid. It's not going to work. So we appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.